910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A lot of people will be watching two economic reports out today. First, we will get the Consumer Price Index for the month of May. It's a snapshot on inflation month over month and year over year. This afternoon, the Fed will announce its decision on interest rates. It's expected they will hold rates where they are. Concern about security at the border and who's gotten in.
8 migrants who entered the U.S. illegally through the southern border are in custody for their alleged ties to terrorism. The individuals detained in New York, Los Angeles, and Philadelphia are from Tajikistan. They were vetted when entering the U.S., but sources say authorities later uncovered information raising suspicion about their possible affiliations with ISIS. The FBI previously warned about this vulnerability at the border.
ABC's Christiane Cordero. Atlanta police are still investigating a bus hijacking yesterday. One person was killed after a man hopped on a city bus, forced the driver to careen it through several counties before a SWAT team was finally able to bring it under control. This is ABC News. Today marks the anniversary of two of the most infamous murders in American history, the murders that led to the trial of O.J. Simpson.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. What would she look like?
Now, 30 years after Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman were murdered, Nicole's sister is sitting down with our Diane Sawyer, remembering her. Denise Brown saying,
she was just so graceful and elegant and just so sweet.
Nicole would have today been 65 years old. Ron Goldman would have been 55. O.J. Simpson died a few weeks ago. Alex Stone, ABC News.
At least 41 people have died in a fire that roared through a building housing workers in Kuwait this morning. No word on the cause, but the owner of the building has been arrested. And up for auction today, the oldest known photograph out of an American first lady. The picture of Dolly Madison was taken in 1846. Experts at Sotheby's think it could go for $70,000. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Meeting you to celebrate our great state.
It's On the Road with Jane and Todd.
We are going to be broadcasting from places where you can come as we're doing both of our shows. Say hi, and I'm so looking forward to having the chance to sit down and talk to folks.
And that's the fun part of it, is just having conversations with real people.
It's Matt and Air on Air and the Todd Alba Show together on the road.
All this week from 10 to 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin tourism had a record-breaking year in 2023, bringing in $25 billion in profit. Travel Wisconsin Communications Director Craig Trost says this is the second year in a row Wisconsin tourism recorded record-breaking numbers.
Tourism's economic impact grew in all 72 Wisconsin counties in 2023, and that was led by 45.9 million overnight visits to Wisconsin. That was up about 500,000 from 2022.
Milwaukee County alone brought in $4 billion. Wisconsin tourism continues to be one of the largest drivers of Wisconsin's economy. The Wisconsin DNR announced it will be awarding almost $600,000 in urban forestry grants to cities, counties, and nonprofit organizations. The grants will fund projects that help cities manage their trees and improve urban forestry. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers debut another rookie pitcher. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Toronto Blue Jays playing this afternoon at AmFam Field. We'll have a recap after the game. Last night, the crew losing 3-0. Because of all the injuries, another Brewers rookie making his major league debut, Carlos Rodriguez, age 22, gave up a couple of runs. He lasted until the fourth inning. How'd he look? Manager Pat Murphy.
He was great. You know, I'm really pleased. I thought he threw the ball well. I thought he showed tremendous poise. Yeah, I was very pleased with what I saw. 22-year-old kid come out there and do what he did. Gets a really good lineup. I thought he handled himself very, very well. Didn't seem like like a rookie at all. Didn't seem like, you know, first timer. I was encouraged.
NFL, the Packers GM Brian Gutekunst says they hope to have a new contract for Jordan Love done by next month. I asked Love if that's true.
Yeah, I think they should. I mean, just what he said.
And that's that?
That's that. Keep it short, yeah. There it is.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny and breezy. Otherwise, winds will gust up to 25 out of the southwest. Highs today in the low 80s. Showers and storms tonight, a low around 60. For Thursday, mostly sunny and breezy with a high of 76.
Right now, it's 44.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Bob Lord from Patriotic Millionaires joins us at 10:33, and you're on the road with Jane and Todd in Richland Center Live. Join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning and welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network, live from Chippewa Falls. I'm Pat Breitlow. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here on this Wednesday, June 12th, 2024. Coming up this hour, we're going to be talking a bit about reading and literacy and how Republican legislators took a bipartisan plan to improve reading in Wisconsin schools and managed to turn it into yet another unfunded mandate. We'll have Todd Alba previewing what's coming up on his show at noon, live from Richland Center. He's on the road, and he will preview his road trip with stops tomorrow in Eau Claire and Friday in Amory. Hope you will come and visit Todd and Jane Mattenair and me in Eau Claire and Amory tomorrow and Friday. Before we get to all of that, though, it's time for our Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. We're again using the Civic Media app. You send us a text. Use a little text feature on there for your chance to win. We do the contest throughout the course of the day, every couple hours or so. Each hour has a different keyword that you text in, and that puts you in the running for an hourly prize, which would be a Wisconsin Dells prize pack, a daily prize of Brewers tickets, and then an overall grand prize, your choice of some fabulous places. You get to pick one of them for a staycation. Here's this hour's word: red. The color, R-E-D. Unlike yesterday where it was democracy and we, you had to get spell check and everything. Today, red. Can't miss it. Text it in using the Civic Media app and you will be entered into the Scotty Summer statewide text to win contest. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us now as we, again, work toward a warm-up, but that before we get really warm, we've already got the humidity coming, but there's also the chance of showers or storms maybe in the process. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, we've got a lot of things going on right now, from an air quality alert along the shores of Lake Michigan to severe thunderstorms with even the potential for a few tornadoes into Superior, Wisconsin. So the biggest risk is for our state, a slight risk, and this is going to be for these severe storms throughout the afternoon and into the evening. So what's going to be happening is mainly two rounds is what it's going to consist of. The first one is actually just off to the west of us right now. It will be pushing into the northwestern parts of the state within the next hour or two. And as it does so, it'll start to strengthen and roll down to the southeast. Then we'll get another line later on this afternoon, maybe around 2 to 3 o'clock. And that one will also strengthen. I think that one's going to pack the bigger punch there with some severe storms. And that will also continue to move southeast throughout the state through the overnight. So I do think that temperatures today, all of us will climb to the low 80s. The further south in the state you live, you could definitely climb to some upper 80s, maybe even nearing 90 today. The humidity will get a little feisty down south and at the state line today. and then, of course, in towards Eau Claire as well. The rest of the state, you're going to hold off until tomorrow till you really feel the mugginess. But we've got a lot of active showers and storms as we go through the next 24 hours. So today, the main threat will be some damaging winds, especially along the western state line. And then hail, that threat kind of pushes into central parts of the state as well. Madison, Milwaukee, down by the lake, I think a lot of these storms are going to start to dissipate and weaken. So the biggest risk, northern and western parts of the state today. And in fact, some rain totals, we could see 1 to 2 inches. So the potential for some flash flooding locally as well.
I get the whole notion of the flash flooding and the thunderstorms and the wind, but it was your description of the humidity as feisty that has me concerned. I feel like it's wrestling right away saying, you will sweat more. Very feisty humidity.
That's what it's going to do. Just wait till this weekend. Whew.
That's one of the things. This weather's giving me the vapors.
Greg and I agree. One of the things we love about having you on is we never know how you're going to describe the weather next.
Yeah, I've never heard a meteorologist use the term flirt before while describing the weather, so I love it. It's great.
Yep. Rob describes it as good corn growing weather ahead, which is true. We talk about the lawns, you know, feeling like they grow an inch an hour after a spell like this, but pretty soon the corn is just going to take off. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's sunny and 52. I got hit with the allergies yesterday, but feel better today and more mowing jobs. Marv Albert and his yes call. He loves that. I want to congratulate Melissa Kay on her new show. Love seeing the Civic Media Network growing, and the people are just simply awesome. He's talking about you, Brittany. You're simply awesome.
Thank Rob's you.
Awesome. Rob is awesome. Tigerton's awesome.
Yep. Thank you for the good corn-growing weather, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Stay dry, guys.
All right. Thank you. Again, 712 right now, and a reminder, when I talked about texting us the keyword red for the Scotty Summer Contest, a reminder, you can do that up until 8 o'clock. You don't have to rush to do it right now if you're doing something else on your phone. Maybe you're figuring out Wordle or something like that. But sometime before 8 o'clock, text red using the Civic Media app and be entered in the drawings for the hour, for the day, and for that staycation grand prize. Friday will be the last day on the job for the University's of Wisconsin diversity officer. She's leaving after less than a year on the job, thanks to Republican politicians' successful effort to blackmail the university into diminishing its diversity efforts and smear the good work that comes from diversity programs. Monica Smith will become Vice President for Inclusion and Belonging at the University of Richmond, a private institution in Virginia. That's according to a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article by Kelly Meyerhofer. Diversity officers, she writes, help a wide range of students get into college and get through college. They support students of color, yes, but also students with disabilities, students of different faiths, student veterans, among others. And yet, Republican lawmakers, both in Wisconsin and nationwide, have seized as a political strategy. They've seized upon casting diversity employees and programs as racially divisive and financially wasteful. And it's unclear whether Smith will be replaced or if her position at the UW is going to be eliminated, all because Republicans, as a strategy, have perverted the definition of diversity to somehow call something that is more inclusive, divisive. That's the upside-down logic that we're working with here. Basically, in order to maintain a baseline view that there is no such thing as systemic racism, or maybe racism itself is dead in their view, and that there really is no need for diversity efforts. You know, the kinds of things that help benefit people not only based on race, but as you just heard, veterans transitioning into civilian life, people with disabilities, different faiths, maybe even different parts of the country, people who just want to fit in better and help everyone understand each other better, embrace our different origin stories while learning how best to work together to reach goals at work and in life. It's something that corporate America has been embracing and been benefiting from. And seriously, it's those legislators who did the blackmailing last year that appear to be most in need of diversity appreciation. Because, yeah, maybe your life is good and maybe you don't see systemic racism. There might be a reason for that. Hunter Biden was found guilty on gun charges yesterday related to paperwork that he filled out when he purchased a gun back when he was addicted to drugs. Again, I thought a very ironic case to bring and for Republicans to cheer on, because if this had been, instead of Hunter Biden, if this had been Donald Trump Jr. or Eric Trump or any of the other Trump children who were charged with this, we would have heard an entirely different tune. We would have heard, wait, the government makes you fill out a form about whether you're addicted to drugs or not when you're buying this gun? How intrusive? What's next? A national registry? No, but because there's not, because this is just Hunter Biden clicking the wrong box on a form, essentially, now it's suddenly okay. He said on a day when gun safety is as much an issue as ever before, on this anniversary of the Pulse nightclub shooting that left 102 people either dead or wounded, 49 dead, more than 50 wounded. Anything that would improve our gun safety is a good thing. And Hunter Biden did fill out that form falsely and should have faced some kind of consequences. And if his name weren't Hunter Biden and if his father weren't president for the United States, he would have faced consequences, but also wouldn't have had to have his trial equated with that of a former president accused of 34 felony counts of election interference through falsifying business records. But media outlets across the country did not dare risk looking like they were favoring one person or the other, one party or the other. And so they were trying so hard to force this issue, to make the two trials appear to be equivalent when they were anything but. But Hunter Biden will be sentenced. He will not be pardoned by his father, unlike all of the pardons that Donald Trump gave before he left office in January of 2021. But thankfully, with Hunter Biden convicted of a felony, he is no longer a viable candidate for president as a convicted felon. Oh, wait, Hunter Biden was never running for president. And finally, Jim Troupas has been suspended from a group that is a judicial ethics panel here in Wisconsin. Yes, the same Jim Troupas who, even after, as a Trump campaign attorney, there were reports of him being behind the fake electors plot. Even when that first came to light, Senate Republicans in Madison went ahead and reappointed Troupas to be an advisor on the state judicial ethics panel. But now the Wisconsin Supreme Court on Tuesday suspended Troupas from that panel now that he's been formally charged with a felony for his role in the 2020 fake electors scheme. When we come back, we'll unpack some more of the news. We'll talk about the Brewers-Blue Jays game from last night and then the day game that they have this afternoon. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, our homeroom segment, talking about legislators who are blocking literacy program funding across Wisconsin. Wherever you're listening across the state on this Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win Contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You can call or text the show at 855-75-CIVIC. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. Playing a little Foo Fighters back there because it was on this day in 2015 that Dave Grohl fell off the stage and broke his leg during a Foo Fighters show in Sweden. He got some medical attention but returned to finish the show propped up while someone holds his leg. I put Greg on camera right now so that I'm not the only one looking right at you, Mr. and Mrs. Listener and Viewer, and saying, if I broke my leg during this show, no way in hell am I finishing this show. Dave Grohl is a better man than I.
And do not forget, Pat Kreitlow is married to a doctor.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a broken leg. She'd say, look, it's not my forte as an OBGYN. You'll be fine. She would say, rub some dirt on it because she's a farm kid. She's a tough farm kid, and that's what tough farm kids do.
You should see the video. He's just bopping along and just takes a hard header. And
oh, no.
They bring him back up, and, like, the story is great, and it's literally a medic who is sitting on stage for the rest of the show holding his ankle from falling apart inside his body. And he's like, I did a shot. They brought me back. I played the rest of the show. And then next night he went to the hospital, and then they erected this throne. And it looks like the Game of Thrones chair, but it's all guitar necks.
Oh,
and he played the rest of the tour, or at least until he didn't have to be on, in that chair. He played in a giant chair.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Again, a real gamer. That's great. Good on him. And look, it's more dangerous up there than you know. I mean, Carrie Underwood a few nights ago took a huge tumble downstairs, down some stairs on the stage because she was performing in the rain. Bono broke his neck. Jimmy Buffett had a serious skull injury many years ago, tumbling off the stage. So there's that happens in the theater as well, trap doors and things like that. Mm-hmm. So there are all these hazards, you know, that we don't have to deal with. And if I knew physical comedy a little bit better, I'd pretend a trap door just went out from under my chair and I'd fall right out of the screen here. But we're not going to do that for a radio show. We're not going for visual bits at this point. But it is what pops into my head. So at least I've got that going for me. The Milwaukee Brewers were shut out at home last night by the Toronto Blue Jays 3-0. The Brewers stranded 10 runners on base, or my wife likes to say they abandoned 10 runners on base throughout the course of the game. The starting pitcher was Carlos Rodriguez. He was a sixth-round pick for the Brewers in the 2021 draft, and now ready for the bigs. He's 22 years old. He is the 16th Nicaraguan-born player in Major League history, the first ever for the Brewers. He's also, at age 22, the 12th different pitcher to make a start for the Brewers through the first 67 games of the season. He worked 3 2/3 innings. He gave up 2 runs on 7 hits. He walked 1, and he struck out 4. The finale of that series with the Toronto Blue Jays is coming up this afternoon at American Family Field. You can I put the wrong time up on the screen here. So let me say the game is at 1:10, and now I don't want to give you wrong information here, so I got to go double check what Luke Mathers sent my way for this Wednesday morning for the Brewers. It's the pregame at 12:35, and the first pitch is at 1:10. So again, pregame at 12:35 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine Kenosha, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. The Brewers stay home. They have tomorrow off. And then on Friday, Cincinnati comes to town for a weekend series. And then next week, the Brewers go on a West Coast road trip. Folks who are patients at clinics and hospitals through Ascension might be relieved to hear that access to patient medical records has been returned after a cyber attack last month that caused weeks-long disruptions in patient care, according to a news release as published as well by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I've got a family member who works for Ascension, and of course other, you know, family members that work for different care institutions, and when they are hit by what are normally ransomware attacks, sometimes it does not matter if you paid the ransom or not, and I don't have info in front of me that tells me if Ascension did or not. Either way, there's no guarantee that the access to your electronic medical records is going to be restored the way that you like. And so I know, having heard from people secondhand, that the past few weeks have been difficult, shall we say, doing a whole lot of things on paper when you can't access electronic medical records. You can't access patient history. You might want to look for drug interactions and see what kind of prescriptions they were on. And this was something that affected Ascension, you know, throughout its offices, clinics, hospitals, throughout the country that this happens. And I don't bring it up to say that there shouldn't be electronic medical records or internet security. Of course, there should be. You should always be working on it. But, you know, Sherry mentioned that, you know, when they have had, you know, electronic medical records issues, there's this difference in age. Sometimes age and wisdom and experience do pay off when you have people who actually have worked with paper records, who, for all the fun we make of doctors' handwriting, did literally have to write their charts out once upon a time and then transcribe them, you know, record them. And then those dictations would go to people in the office who would transcribe them and put them into the patient's records. It's kind of like, you know, when there's a power outage on the farm. And some people have never milked a cow by hand. The cow still has to be milked. And so you either have the experience in it or you don't to deal with, you know, the crisis that is at hand. So for all those folks that are at Ascension that had to deal with paper records, essentially milk the cow by hand for a while, we hope things are getting a little smoother and getting things restored and nice and convenient for you and your patients once again. Former Wisconsin Congressman, former Speaker of the House Paul Ryan tore into former President Donald Trump on Tuesday, making an appearance on Fox News, where he also sits on the board of directors, saying that he will not be voting for Trump and calling out his lack of character and principles. He told host Neil Cavuto, "If you put yourself above the Constitution, as he has done, I think that makes you unfit for office." He also blamed Trump for GOP election losses, saying, quote, "He's cost us a lot of seats. He cost us the Senate twice. He cost us the House because he is pushing through the primaries people who cannot win in general elections but pledge fealty to him." So what's Paul Ryan going to do about this? Paul Ryan, like others who are disenchanted with President Trump, could stay home, or they could vote for the only other candidate on the ballot who has any chance to win whatsoever. And if you're not voting for Joe Biden, even if you're not voting for Donald Trump, you're voting for Donald Trump because you're not doing anything substantive to reduce the margin that Trump could overcome, beat Biden, and be returned back to office, which is something Paul Ryan says he doesn't want. But Ryan says he doesn't support Joe Biden either. He calls them terrible choices and lamented that Nikki Haley dropped out. Ryan said he will write in a conservative Republican's name in November and that he hasn't selected that person yet. Yes, you have, Paul Ryan, and you can write your name on that ballot 8 ways to Sunday, but it's a vote for Trump. Congratulations on getting a little bit more national attention, but for actually doing absolutely nothing. Our homeroom segment is coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
In an effort to protect Wisconsin's dairy industry, the state now implementing new testing requirements for cattle that travel. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. Details on what that testing entails next.
Steffens Group has been in the business of marketing farm construction, transportation equipment, and farm real estate at public auction for over 60 years. With locations across the Midwest and Rocky Mountain region, our team is readily equipped to handle any of your auction needs. Sell with confidence, knowing that our team of professionals prioritizes honesty, integrity, and outstanding service. Visit steffensgroup.com to find a representative near you and discuss your options for selling with Steffens today. steffensgroup.com, S-T-E-F-F-E-S group.com.
If you exhibit dairy animals at a county fair, pay attention. Yesterday, the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection announced that effective immediately, they are putting in new requirements to test lactating dairy cattle that are moving to fairs or exhibitions within the state. Producers must receive a negative test for influenza A virus from an approved laboratory with samples collected no more than 7 days prior to movement to the fair or exhibition. Obviously, time is one of the critical elements for anybody exhibiting lactating dairy cattle. Dr. Darlene Conkle, Wisconsin State Veterinarian, says they should be able to handle it.
They can only run the test in Madison, and they run that 3 days a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays currently. So any sample that gets to the lab by 1 p.m. on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday gets run the same day, and results are reported out by close of business. If samples arrive on Tuesday or Thursday, they go into the next day's batch. So we're anticipating turnaround time will be reasonable to get this testing done and get results back to folks. We realize that this is a new requirement, and we're certainly willing to work with the early fairs and with WVDL on any questions along the way.
Dr. Darlene Conkle, our Wisconsin State Veterinarian. Now, producers can also apply for reimbursement of shipping and veterinary fees for collection of these samples. More details up on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com, or the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection website as well.
If you got to take one for the team, at least look to Bobcat Plus to help you out. Bobcat Plus has been keeping you from the aches and the pains of the tough jobs for years. Bobcat Plus carries new and used Bobcat equipment, and all locations have a full service department, parts, and rentals. They're in Eau Claire, Butler, Appleton, and De Pere, featuring a full lineup of compact wheel and truck loaders, mini excavators, compact tractors, zero-turn mowers, hundreds of hard-working attachments, and so much more. Stop in or visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
Like I said, more news available at MidwestFarmReport.com. Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook. I'm Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny and breezy. Otherwise, winds will gust up to 25 out of the southwest. Highs today in the low 80s. Showers and storms tonight, a low around 60. For Thursday, mostly sunny and breezy with a high of 76.
It's 51 at our studios.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome entertainment reporter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Chris Foran, and home show host extraordinaire and comedian Mike Siegel joins me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Well, I know you're a bad mystery. Rock, rock, rock and roll.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio, 7:34 on this Wednesday morning, June 12th. Nice to have you along for our Wednesday update on public education issues. And today we're going to talk about something that started off as a bipartisan achievement in the Wisconsin legislature. It's something that is going to make a difference in Wisconsin classrooms if only we can get past the political bickering that lasted long after the law itself had been passed and signed into law. And joining me for that is Baylor Spears, a reporter for the Wisconsin Examiner. And on the phone is educator Megan Miller. Baylor, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning.
Nice to have you here. And Megan, you're with us as well?
Hi, yes, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. So great to have you here. So this is basically, it's a two-part story. It's one about the improvements in reading and literacy that are supposed to be taking place. And then there's a political story about why the funding for it is still being held up. So let's go in that kind of chronological order, Megan. So I'm going to start with you first. Can you talk a bit about, we're going to talk about two different laws here. The one law, Act 20, is the law that calls for improving literacy and reading programs. Act 100 is the law that's supposed to pay for it. So let's start with the improved reading and literacy, Megan, and tell us what was the big thing that everybody agreed on when it came to improving reading and literacy in Wisconsin schools?
Well, I mean, I think that's a really interesting framing of the question, because the way that Act 20 was passed was done so in a very clandestine manner. Reading associations and educators were really left out of the conversation. I actually found out about Act 20 just right before it passed from my local legislator, and he asked what my opinion was about focusing on reading, and I said, of course, it's always a great thing to focus on reading, but why is this the first time I'm hearing about it? So I've come to understand that this is part of a larger national movement that is very sort of agenda driven and is very much not about what is best for children. Although I will say there are some wonderful silver linings within Act 20. My takeaway as an educator is that Act 20 really widens gaps. So public education has already been underfunded, indexed to inflation for almost 20 years, right? And so this is unfortunately another piece of legislation that has some really good possibilities, I think, but they're incidental and not intentional. And it's also, I think, another piece in the puzzle of deprofessionalizing teachers, right? So like, this is my 11th year as a public educator. I've always been a very phonics heavy practitioner when it comes to reading, because I work with students who are struggling readers who need those types of interventions. But this legislation really sort of puts out there the belief that teachers have not been already teaching phonics, which is just not accurate. And really, teaching phonics for the sake of teaching phonics is not an end in and of itself, right? Like, we teach readers to read and to think critically. And when we have legislation that tells teachers, nope, you can't teach meaning and syntax like in your instruction because we've decided that that's politically unfavorable, that really is harmful to not only the children that need maybe different ways of learning, right? Because all of our brains and bodies are different, but also it really conflates curriculum with instruction. So, right, like as a teacher, I'm not really excited too much about Act 20 because it feels like another thing I have to work around to best meet the needs of my students.
I feel like Megan has set up perfectly the disagreements over how Act 20 came to be that helped set up the dispute over funding. And that's where we bring Baylor Spears into the conversation here, because in your reporting for Wisconsin Examiner, you note that the governor had threatened to veto the bill that eventually became Act 20. Republicans agreed to some changes, but then Governor Evers, as he can do as the governor, did some line item vetoes, and that angered some Republicans. Can you tell us a bit more about the background, the backstory of all of this Act 20 coming into law, but you know, with agreement, but certainly not, as you heard from Megan, widespread agreement by any stretch.
Right. Act 20, you know, as it was being discussed as a bill, there was disagreement about some, you know, the implementation and kind of how we would move schools from towards this like science-based reading literacy approach. One of the big disagreements was disagreement on basically retention programs. Republicans had wanted to include some retention, basically retaining third graders if they didn't meet the measures. And that was one of the things that DPI and Evers were both like, no, we don't support that. If you include that, like, we're going to veto it. They eventually took that out. And that's kind of how we got to where we are, where the bill passed and became Act 20. And now there have been several different disagreements as they've like tried to get to implementing the money and like actually implementing the law over what is the, what reading curriculum is going to be basically endorsed and a part of this Act 20 included money to basically provide grants to schools so that they can purchase new literacy programs. But you have to get it off of a certain list of programs. So there's been disagreement on that. In Act 100, which, so Act 100 is the law that basically is supposed to give the Joint Finance Committee, the 16-member Budget Committee, basically a mechanism for expending the money so that they can basically give the go when they want to use the money for these new literacy programs.
And this really gets to the heart of an ongoing dispute between Governor Evers and Republicans in the legislature where, as we've discussed with PFAS, as we've discussed with University or Chippewa Valley hospital funding, that at issue is when the legislature passes a law, a state budget bill or others, that authorizes spending, and yet also says, well, you still have to keep coming back to the Joint Finance Committee to release the money. Governor Evers is saying, wait, that's not how this is supposed to work. When you approve the spending, it goes to the executive branch and that agency, you know, whether it's the Department of Public Instruction, the Department of Natural Resources, you know, they take it from here. Baylor, I'll come back to you on that question, but that whole question of micromanaging money, Megan, can also be said about the curriculum. Everything that Baylor just outlined and that you did previously shows a legislature that's looking to micromanage DPI and even teachers right in the classrooms, it sounds to me.
Yes, and so this is just like a really funny space to be in because DPI has, I might be wrong in the number, I believe there were 16 curriculums that were evaluated and approved by DPI that met all of the criteria outlined by the advocates of the science of reading. And a quick footnote on that, nothing about how we teach reading is not based on research. There is a beautiful work out there by Peter Afflerbeck, who works for the Department of Education as a researcher, called The Sciences of Reading. There is no silver bullet curriculum that fits for every child. And that's the point. When we talk, I'm going to say a bad word, which is equity. We don't like to talk about that anymore in Wisconsin for education. But equity is what education is about, right? Like, we're here for every child and every need. And we have to have the professional freedom as teachers to build relationships, get to know how best to meet the needs of those kids, right? So that's a whole other issue. But the curricula themselves, there was a list of 16 that were approved by DPI. When it was sent to Joint Finance, they whittled it down to 3. Now, I can't say why, but I imagine that if I were a member of the Joint Finance Committee and not an educator, and my charge is to be fiscally responsible, of course it makes sense to whittle it down to 3, because why would the government decide to, you know, we're not going to be Oprah, right, and just like hand out grant money to everybody, like, let's narrow the focus. But I think that people like parents who absolutely should care about like the curriculum that their children gets might look at that list and say, oh my goodness, my child's school is not using one of these approved curriculum pieces. And so like they're not getting the best quality reading education, which is just simply not true, right? There are all kinds of different materials and resources that actually met the criteria set forth by Act 20 that are not on that list. So I think it further, it erodes credibility, right? Like in our public schools, when people are getting conflicting information from their legislators than they are from their educators.
We're talking to educator Megan Miller and also Wisconsin Examiner reporter Baylor Spears, talking about how a bipartisan goal to improve reading and literacy in Wisconsin schools has become caught up in more political games and essentially is becoming an unfunded mandate. Baylor, as we get back to talking about how the funding is supposed to take place. And there's now a lawsuit at the heart of Act 100 about who's got the power to do what. You've got the Senate Majority Leader, the Republican leader, Devin Lemahieu, saying to DPI, hey, you need to move forward with this. And DPI saying, hey, not so fast. There's still all these issues. It's really thrown state and local educators into a big world of uncertainty, it looks like.
Right. Yeah. I believe it was last week that DPI Superintendent Jill Underley said that the longer that this gets delayed, the harder it's going to be for schools to implement and follow Act 20. But yeah, so talking about the money portion, there was $50 million included in the budget to help implement these new programs. Only a little over 300,000 of that has been released so far, that money going towards supporting the director of the Office of Literacy, which is being created within DPI to see over these programs. DPI has requested the release of the other like $49.6 million. They requested that in March, but the Joint Finance Committee has not taken up that request yet. And part of it is because of this partial veto that Evers did on Act 100. And that partial veto, he eliminated language that referred specifically to literacy coaching programs, saying that like basically he wanted it to be one appropriation. So by including the additional language, like it was making multiple appropriations, and it would be harder for DPI, like he wanted to give DPI more flexibility in doing the programs. And then he also eliminated language that he said would have given charter and private choice schools additional funding, potentially increases in per pupil spending that wouldn't have been given to public schools. And the lawsuit that Republicans have filed in Dane County Circuit Court basically said that this wasn't an appropriations bill. Evers did not have the power to do a partial partial veto. And basically, they said, like, we want an injunction so that they can't spend this money as if Evers's veto is law. Majority Leader Lemahieu said in a letter, he was like, no, like, you guys can move ahead with hiring the 64 literacy coaches. But Underley has basically been like, no, we can't because you guys haven't released the money. And she basically has continued to urge JFC to release the money despite this lawsuit going on.
Because you've got the governor who, again, much like with the Chippewa Valley hospitals, says, look, through the line item veto, we're providing more flexibility in how to use these funds. And the other thing that he's been on the lookout for is anything that gives, an undue advantage to private and voucher schools at the expense of public schools. Megan, I've only got a couple of seconds left. What is the next step from here, or can you even know yet while there's still this legal uncertainty?
It's very ambiguous right now. It's very vague is what I should say. And I guess, like, to me, my takeaway from this experience this year of learning about Act 20 and how it will impact my work with children shows me that this is just like a piece in the larger plan to strip down public institutions, right, and then point to struggles and then point and say, look, it's not working. So I feel like the takeaway from this that I hope our legislators hear and I hope our educators resonate with, we have to fund schools and we have to trust teachers, right? Mm-hmm. We are like the content experts. We're here to respond to the needs of kids, and we're going to do that regardless of what the legislature has to say. So, right. I mean, hopefully they'll get their acts together, but we're here for the kids.
Here's hoping. Megan Miller, educator, and Bailey Spears from the Wisconsin Examiner. Thank you both so much for shining some light on a contentious issue and bringing it to our attention. We appreciate it so much. And we'll be back with Todd Alba right after this. You're up north.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ plus communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
If you dig into the history of the LGBTQ plus movement in our state, you may be surprised by what you find. The first public call to get rid of restrictions against gay people was discussed by Wisconsin officials in 1966, not long after voters elect several openly gay leaders for the first time. But a 1982 law stands out as Wisconsin becomes the first state to prohibit discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodations on the basis of sexual orientation. An extraordinary history of Wisconsin pride. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Hey, it's good to be back home again.
Sometimes. All right, let's take a look at our video monitor and see where Todd Alba is joining us from. Greg Bach, can you do your best nature program voice and describe how we're finding Mr. Alba this morning?
If you look closely into the wild hills of Richland Center, you can see the untamable Todd Alba, a.k.a.
The untamable
Todd Father, amongst the trees and the brush. Do not make direct eye contact. Do not look him in the face. He is, though sweet and wonderful looking, he will attack with hugs
and sharp verbal wit.
And sharp verbal wit.
Yes.
We're talking to you, WBA.
Mr. Alba, where are you? You're out in the wild.
I'm on Mom's back deck here in Richland Center.
Oh, my God.
Mom made a good investment. I feel like I can see Switzerland from there. You guys can get away from the Nazis. Keep going. Get over the hill there, Julie Andrews.
Why do you think I came out here?
Oh, dear.
No, it's beautiful. Look at just the beautiful hills, the driftless area here of Richland County for those watching the stream. So her house is on one of the hills here in Richland Center. And you can see part of the town behind me here. And if you look really closely, you can see the tower behind me for WRCO and WRCE, Civic Media Properties, of course, where I started my little venture in radio way back in 1987. So back where it all began.
All right. Well, that's part of the road trip. Todd Alba's road tripping again. And it's Richland Center today and Eau Claire tomorrow. Yours truly will be there as well. And then we trek up to Amory.
Yeah.
So did you make a plan yet for in between Eau Claire and Amory for your Thursday night? Because last time you were at a place on Water Street for a while, but what have you and Jane set up here for this trip?
Well, yes, I'm traveling with our wonderful colleague and co-host with Greg Bach, Matt Nair on air every morning from 10 until noon, I might add. And they'll be doing the Matt Nair on air. Well, Greg will be a walking show, but Jane's traveling with me. So we gave her the 10-cent tour of Richland Center, took her to Los Amigos 2 Mexican last night for dinner.
And Los Amigos Dos. Yeah.
Dos, okay. That's right. And she stayed at the White House tonight. Not the White House, not but the White House Inn and Lodge, yeah, here in town. And then tonight we're trekking up.
Wait. Does mom not have a guest room? I mean, couldn't she stay?
I stayed there.
Well, I mean, she has a couch for you. I think that Jane should have been able to stay where I'm sure the room has been preserved. There's still the poster up of Farrah Fawcett, you know, from back in the day, or maybe Lee Majors, you know, who knows.
If we look into the wilds of Lake Wissota, we see the rabble rouser that is Pat Kreitlow.
Who would make that kind of trouble? I'm just saying that when you guys get to the Chippewa Valley, I mean, I don't know where you're putting yourselves up here, but I mean, there's guest rooms here. There's a pontoon here.
Well, now you tell me, sure. I mean, I didn't want to.
I've been telling you this for a year.
I grew up as a good, you know, a guilt-ridden Methodist. You didn't want to impose on anybody. So, you know, we'll be up there tonight in Eau Claire, and then we're headed directly after the show tomorrow at Shift Cyclery and Coffee Bar. Come on down and see Pat and Jane and I tomorrow in Eau Claire. And then we're headed up to Balsam. Is it Lake Balsam or Balsam Lake?
Balsam Lake.
That's at Balsam Lake. We're staying there. Okay. At a little place, a little Airbnb to get ready for Amory. But we'll hang out with you.
Oh, that's fun. I mean, if you're coming up tonight, we could have a Top Chef viewing party where we've got to watch that so that we can talk about it with Luke Mathers tomorrow morning.
Boy.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll stay in contact throughout the day. You know, yeah. I mean, it's early yet. It's you're going to be on the show today. Trigvi Olson from DC, my former boss, Dale Schultz, who lives here in town. He's going to pop on for a minute. And it's his birthday today. So we'll be celebrating his birthday. Talking to some local folks about Frank Lloyd Wright, of course, Richland Center, the birthplace of Frank Lloyd Wright. And talking about events coming. There's speaking of food, there's a Taste in the Hills event this weekend in Richland Center, the Wisconsin State High School Rodeo happening in Richland Center this weekend. So all kinds of things going on. We're going to talk about it on the show. And we're doing the show today from Crosscut Park in Richland Center. Come on down, bring a lawn chair. We've got a little Wonder State coffee we're brewing up. So we'll have the coffee. You bring the chair, and a good time will be had by all. 10 until 2, Matt and Air on Air, followed by our little show.
And you're okay there? Because, I mean, at first it's like, oh, listen to the birds. They've got little songbirds. It keeps going on long enough, I start to worry about your safety. That, I mean, how many are there? And are you being dive-bombed? Are you near a nest or anything like that?
Well, that's the magic of the Driftless, is that you come out here and you don't hear all the city noise. All you hear is nature. It's like when you go, and at night it's very similar as well. The sky is actually black, and you actually see stars in the Milky Way up here and out here at night. And just like you hear nature at night as well. So,
boy, it's fine. You're really selling me on this Driftless region thing.
I think Jane.
What, you live in like the metropolitan that is Lake Wissota?
I'm saying we don't have we have the Ice Age Trail. We were carved out by glaciers, whereas the glaciers didn't quite reach that region, hence the name. And so the hills are a little more gently rolling compared to here, where, you know, one wrong move and, you know, it's curtains. It's curtains for you, see?
Okay.
I don't know why I started talking like a 30s mobster there all of a sudden, but it's a different environment up here, up north.
I'm sure it's still gorgeous, though.
You ought to try it, Kenosha boy. You really ought to get up here sometime. Let's get you on the road.
Yes, because I have all sorts of free time, Patrick.
we've discussed that at length. We're all working way too hard. But I just, again, love the fact that you've got the ability, Todd, to just take that show and, you know, get on the road and talk to people. And for Jane to come along, too, is just such a nice bonus. And talking to Jim Santel, who's got the Saturday morning legal show, Amicus, and appears with us on Friday mornings. He's actually in Eau Claire all this week for Badger Boy State. Which I'm sure Trigvi knows a thing or two about Badger Boy State.
I mean, are they having a Scott Walker Memorial Biggest Dweeb that attended Badger Boy State?
I cannot speak to that, but right. Mr. Santel says if he's free at some point, he would love to join the festivities tomorrow.
Stop over to Shift Coffee downtown Eau Claire anytime between 10 and 2 tomorrow. We've got your first cup of black coffee by Wonder State at Shift. Anybody coming in between 10 and 2? We're buying their coffee, the fancy triple latte vanilla, but I mean, a black coffee from Wonder State. We got you at Shift Coffee in downtown Eau Claire. You got Kreitlow, you got Jane McNair, and now apparently you got Jim Sant. We're traveling with attorneys, ladies and gentlemen, because remember, Pat, it is a statewide Text to Win Civic Media Summer Scotty extravaganza.
Don't you forget it. And tomorrow on our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, we're going to talk to an assembly candidate in Northeast Wisconsin whose opponent in November is either going to be Phil Collins or Ben Franklin. And I'm serious. Wow. Those are the names of the two Republicans running in the primary in that assembly district. So stick around for that. Todd Alba, safe travels. We'll see you up here in the Chippewa Valley real soon.
Patrick, Greg, we appreciate you both. We'll talk to you both soon.
You betcha. Greg, you'll hear from him. Matt and Aaron Air coming up a couple of hours from now. Also, Joe Zepecki tomorrow and Luke Mathers talking about Top Chef Wisconsin. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Todd Albaugh. Join us next time as we're live in Richland Center with our friend Jane Matinere on the road. Also, Phil Nee from WRCO, WRCE, and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.